The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What's up, internets? Welcome to the ROI of Y, your podcast that focuses on all things business as it relates to impact. I'm Andrew Tuzon, the VP of Creative at Firespring, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, Angie Kubicek.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good morning today, or?
Yeah, good morning.
Pretty mellow?
Yeah.
Cool. We are currently in day two of the Do More Good Conference here in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is exciting.
It's super exciting.
Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos, select styles only.
A lot of energy.
Coming out. Yeah, it's like good energy, good vibes.
Yeah.
And additionally, like Do More Good is the sponsor of today's show. So it's pretty cool.
And it's such, just makes you feel good.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the Do More Good Conference, make sure that you check that out online. Hop over to the website and learn about all things impact related as it relates to your business. So today's show is going to be awesome. Okay. We've got a very special guest in the studio with us, Michelle Kinder.
Welcome.
See, I did that.
You did it right.
So welcome to Lincoln. It's your first time in Lincoln too, right?
First time in Nebraska.
In Nebraska.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts so far?
I'm enjoying it. My biggest word that comes to mind is green.
Green.
I'm enjoying all the green.
Is that what you expected?
You know, I don't know what I expected. I didn't really have a formed stereotype necessarily.
Sure.
I just was excited to see space. And so I flew into Omaha very intentionally. So I'd have a little drive.
And where'd you come from?
From Dallas.
Okay. So a little different landscape for sure.
Yeah. And it's hotter here. That's another thing that was okay.
Well, tomorrow could be a completely different story and we won't know about that till about 10 o'clock tonight, probably.
Right.
Sounds like Dallas.
Right. The humidity here, it gets a little brutal too, but you know.
I'm ready.
I am too.
I'm very glad to be here.
Okay. So you're from Dallas. You're joining us at Do More Good. Before we jump into all the questions that we have about, you know, your business and everything that you're doing as it relates to impact, just hit us with a little bit of your story, right? Who are you? What do you do? What got you to this moment?
Yeah.
Just tell us all the background.
Okay, absolutely. So back, I grew up in Guatemala. That's where I was born, and my parents were missionaries down there, so they spent over 30 years. It was home for all of us. Most of us were born there and grew up there. And that had a huge impact on me and sort of my frame for the world.
Okay.
And have now lived in Dallas since 1996.
Okay.
Moved for love from Austin, Texas. Turned out to be a good bet. About to celebrate 20-year anniversary with
Congrats.
My husband.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That's
super
awesome.
Very exciting. And worked at a nonprofit called Momentous Institute in Dallas for 20 years. I was the executive director the last 6 years and just rolled off in end of February. And I'm now working with leaders who are invested in social change and doing more speaking and more writing and pulling on all the same ropes, but just in a little bit of a different speed.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how long has that been the focus for you?
You know, I think what happened for me, the focus at Momentous Institute is social emotional health.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And really children and families. And I think what happened for me in doing that work is I noticed that there's some upstream work in the adult and community space in regard to social emotional health that has to happen to create an opportunity for children to achieve their full potential. And rather than kind of jump into another nonprofit, into another cause, I really felt like, wow, if I could use what I've learned to pour into leaders that are invested in social change so that their wattage goes up, you know, from whatever it is to 1,000 watts, and their impact spreads further and faster, then that sounds like a great space to be in. So that's kind of how it all links.
That's awesome. And I think, like, when it comes to impact and what we think about with impact and impact strategy and social change, I think so many people think of it in this, like, linear view of it's just my give back component. So either how much am I writing a check or, oh, I have to give my team's volunteer time, which I think is amazing. But something that Lincoln specifically has been having a lot of conversation around is this, like, topic of inclusivity and how that is this new impact wave that we're doing within our community. And Firespring, where we're from, has really kind of latched on to that concept. And so from someone who's grown up in Guatemala and has this just very different, I think, worldview and lens, like, how has that really shaped how you're coaching leaders to build their social impact?
Mm. Gosh, I'm so encouraged by what y'all are doing. And
Thank you. It
really is. It's inspiring because it sort of flips the us and them script that a lot of giving back just keeps perpetuating, which doesn't feel great to a lot of people. And so the idea of putting inclusivity at the center of it and really looking for ways to link arms with communities who have tons of wisdom rather than imparting and bestowing, it, to me, feels like the future of impact and philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And growing up in Guatemala definitely fed my frame for that because, you know, even from birth, everywhere I looked, there were at least two ways to do everything. And so it just sort of like bakes into your bone marrow an appreciation for the unfamiliar that isn't hostile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a curiosity and an openness. And, you know, as we think about just kind of the landscape in our country right now and how many people, as things feel unstable or unsteady or erring in the other direction of, you know, let me tighten who's in my ear and who's at my table and let me get more and more afraid of other.
Yeah.
To hear that Lincoln is taking such a stand in a different direction, it just, like, makes me so even happier to be here.
It's a pretty incredible community to be a part of, honestly, right? Like, I've only been here for about 3 years now. I came here from Denver and totally different landscape and just right from the go just saw this, like, cultural difference and cultural shift as it relates to the way people look at, you know, what they're doing, what impact are they making. And it's just, it's a really amazing thing to just submerge yourself in.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So you coming from Guatemala, you having the background that you did, like, it sounds to me like impact has been just like hard coded into your DNA, right? But did you ever have like this aha moment that got you to make it like the impetus of what you're doing now? Like, is there anything, any moment that just you can cite as the driving force or motivation?
You know, what you said is so astute because I definitely grew up with parents who lived their life as if they belonged to the community. Mm-hmm. And it definitely wasn't a side sort of like, here's how we give back. It's a here's what we're here to do kind of mentality. And that sense of service sunk in. This is a little weird to share, but I like y'all so much. I'm going to share.
It's open.
It's a safe space.
It's a safe
with
space.
A bunch of listeners.
Because I appreciate your question about sort of like when did something crystallize for you? And of course, there have been many moments, but when I was 16, my 58-year-old father who was a total hero for me mm-hmm. for obvious reasons, died suddenly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was at cheerleading camp, bizarre. And actually, I've told very few people this, but I could track back time of when he died and what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And this is like a weird, at first I was so bothered by this. And then later I was like, no, this is like the universe enjoying the bigger mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. In the very moment that my dad died, I was in a freaking conga line singing that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. So weird.
So for a long time, I was like, what? And then I was like, no, that's actually perfect. That's exactly as my dad would have it. But the big kind of pivot moment for me was that my brother-in-law, Tim, came to tell me. And when he told me even in that super raw moment of mm-hmm. grief, my strongest reaction was he wasn't done yet. And I just kept saying that over and over again. Wow. And it was just, you know, it couldn't have been a more personal loss. But in that moment, it was clear to me how deep the teachings were from my mom and dad that we mm-hmm. belong to the community.
Yeah.
And that there aren't any neutral moments. Like it's either positive, negative, or missed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think at that point I was like, I'm gonna carry this legacy forward in the way that I see fit.
I think that's just it, right? Legacy.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And that's a huge motivating factor. And it's all about our perception of events, right? Like positive, negative, or missed, like you said. You can perceive them as any, and being positive and like trying to find the how does this elevate me to be a better person or do more good in the world. That's huge. Thank you for sharing that. That's an amazing story.
It kind of hits me because in a previous episode, we were talking to a couple of the guys from Physician Thrive, and we had that exact conversation about, you know, when you're done here on this earth, like, what will you have left behind? And it's we hope that it's more than just like a really solid bank account or different things, but just what have you imparted on the world that you're in and that we should live every day as if it is the last? And then what is that legacy? And I think that's so powerful hearing you speak about your dad, because mm-hmm. it's when we think about like the Do More Good conference and what we're here all trying to like connect and build on and how do we help leverage each other so this work goes further. And it's just, it's a really cool string that's starting to be aligned with every person we talk to that is a part of this conference. And it's just really kind of moving.
Common denominator, right?
Yeah. It just makes me want to be like, okay, I'm going to work 19 hours today because I just want to use all of them to like help other people feel this so much.
It's like infectious too. And I'm sure you've seen that like working in the space and working with all these other brilliant minds that like we have here at the conference, right? But like you feed off that energy and it just kind of like ripples and cascades and amplifies. It's really a cool thing to see. You know?
Totally. Yeah. It's such a scaffolding. Yeah. Every conversation you have, your thread thing just makes me think, yes, like at the end of these 3 days, it'll be a tapestry that we can't predict right now. I can
exactly.
already tell.
Yeah. And it's kind of inspiring. And so as you go to work with business leaders and help kind of shape them in your conversations, are they pretty like already founded and this is what we're going to do, just help us do it correctly? Or how are those conversations going? And are when you inject with someone maybe who isn't about the social impact, like how are you kind of driving those conversations? And what are some tips maybe people who are feeling this mission, like how can they have the conversation in a way that pulls someone in versus makes them feel like, oh, I'm not there yet, so I'm going to arm length you.
Mm-hmm. So my background is mental health. I mm-hmm. was a family therapist for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I've been in the space with people who haven't needed recruiting into the world of impact, mm-hmm. but they definitely have needed some like a space where they can do the inside out work.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that's more of my capacity is to really help people look at how do you go toward this work in a way that you're plugging into power sources that feel more infinite and not finite. And it isn't, you're not trying to fill a hole by giving until you just pass out.
Mm-hmm.
You're really letting something move through you. And so working with leaders to really raise their consciousness about even just how their own nervous system is contagious and healing both, and how they can sort of walk in the world and create a change that's more dramatic and creates greater trajectory shift for the people that they're working with if they do that inner work. Very cool.
Yeah, that's huge. I like that. So we had a few listeners pop some questions over for you. So we're going to head into that section real quick. Riley, she wanted me to ask you, your company was named one of the top 100 best places to work for women. What kinds of policies did you enact or changes did you make within your company culture specifically related to women's issues to make that happen?
Oh, I'm so proud of that. I'm so glad Riley asked that because that was a wonderful moment for us as a company. And I think that that manifested for us not from the smaller specifics mm-hmm. that I think people often go toward, mm-hmm. although we cared about that.
Yeah.
It manifested because we were doing our work around conscious leadership. All of us were. And we were looking for opportunities for women to sort of step most fully into their power and their mm-hmm. potential for contribution. And we shared the load. So there was a real sense of a win for anyone is a win for everyone. And when we take a hit, we stand together. And once one person sort of has had their growth space around something, then they pull up and make room for someone else to grow in that way.
Oh, that's awesome.
That made a big difference. So people, a lot of our women leaders began to see themselves over time through our eyes because we created space for them to rock in the way that they, of course, would and do. But the other thing is that we were very clear that their children, their spouse, their parents had one mom, partner, daughter, whatever. So, and we had a bench. And so if there was something going on with family, there was mm-hmm. never a question. There was never a question of where someone should be. Mm-hmm. And there was total support for someone to put their family at first.
Yeah.
And we stepped in and handled it. And a lot of companies do that, but there's an underlying worry for people that there's still consequences. And I think our team really did a good job of making sure people knew, no, we're serious. Like we are not going to be an organization that serves kids and families and make you feel guilty about putting your family first in any way ever. And if that happens, we want the feedback.
Yeah. So that kind of balance is huge, right? Like for you to have this platform that empowers people like for elevation and impact, but then you also like round that out by showing them that family comes first is huge.
Yeah.
And so many organizations out there, like you said, like they promote that, they preach that, but it's more lip service than anything.
There's a lot of lip service happening. And I've even heard of, you know, some companies that are struggling because they say they want to build up their women leaders within their company, but they're not. But then when the women leaders don't want to like take weeks away from their family or do certain actions, then they can't go up anymore. And so it's still, there's so much work still to be done in that space. And I think it's amazing that you guys kind of found a way to model it. And hopefully others can learn from those moments mm-hmm. because I think it's still a huge challenge in today's workforce. And there's a couple of really amazing women that have started a company called JobShare Connect up in Omaha. And they literally started it because they were working for a couple of the Omaha giants. We have a lot, you know, we have a handful of really amazing companies in Omaha, but they weren't really able to put that family first. And so they're creating a business model where, what if we hired people for their skills and not necessarily have them be full-time? So then what would that look like for a company?
Yeah.
So if I just need a strategist, but you only need strategy, what, 20% of your work week?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need that full-time employee to be filling with other things? And so they're trying to create this different type of hiring system. So that way, whether it's female or male, but people can then work within the capacity that they're able to give to balance out their family life. Because the 9-to-5 was built on a system we don't run on anymore,
right,
for the most part in the United States. And so
right on.
I think you guys have started to like unofficially model that within your previous company.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We talk a lot about the tyranny of incremental change.
Yeah.
And not looking at how did we get here? Like what is the model and the mindset that this current way of working was built on? Mm-hmm. And you're right, we're not that anymore.
No.
And yet we're trying to still sort of fit into that space. So I love your example of,
yeah,
let's just, what does it look like if we're solving for today's workforce?
Right.
And it doesn't look like, you know, there's nobody at my husband's house waiting in a little dress and an apron and with a martini at 5.
I kind of wish I had one of those waiting for me when I came home at the end of the day.
I mean, we can make martinis happen right now.
Right?
That sounds great.
I'm not above the morning beer. Before we get into Riley's follow-up question, I do have to ask you, like, when you rolled out this cultural change or this whole program and process, did you run into any like challenges or was there anything with respect to like adoption that if you could go back and rework it, knowing what you know now, like,
Is
that a thing or was it like a pretty organic and smooth process for you?
So it's a 99-year-old organization that was doing a whole lot right way before I even got on the radar and the current leadership team even got on the radar. So there wasn't like a massive shift wasn't a lot of pushback. So I think it was mostly smooth and mostly so co-created that it didn't feel like jarring.
Yeah.
However, if I had it to do over again, I think we made some early mistakes in how well we cascaded communication all the way through the team and all the way and their insights and wisdom all the way up.
Oh.
So I think we were doing a really good job of being inclusive of the leadership team's views,
sure,
and we were making a lot of assumptions that the leadership team was cascading things up and down. When we caught the impact of that, we made shifts, and it's better. It's not perfect.
Right.
Like, I mean,
nothing is, right?
Yeah, no, there's a hot, holy mess going on there every day. Like, and one of the things that I think we do to make it a good, great place to work is we acknowledge like something is going to go wrong every day. If it's happening because of sloppiness, you know, we're going to have a conversation. But if it's happening because of innovation and commitment and passion, then the only place you're going to be held accountable is how do you show up in the face of the hot mess?
Right.
Yeah. And I love that. That's like, you know, fail to try instead of being afraid to try.
Right.
Right. So inspiring.
So Riley does have a follow-up question for you.
All right.
I'm gathering that she is an animal lover, right?
So yes. Oh, Riley.
Please make sure that you ask Michelle about her 4 rescue dogs.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh my gosh. My daughters, this may be the only podcast my daughters ever listen to because of Riley's question. They'll be so happy.
Yeah. Thanks, Riley.
Yes. We love the 4-leggeds at our house, and our girls have a huge heart and we're suckers. So,
and how many daughters do you have?
We have 2 daughters, Maya and Sophia, and one of our rescue dogs, they literally picked up off the streets. We thought she was like had black and brown coloring, and they got her home and she's like cream colored because she was so dirty.
Oh my gosh.
Just had such a rough little life. But yeah, they're the heartbeat for us, for sure. They run the household.
That's pretty funny though that like you clean the dog and completely. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember the show Married with Children?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So there's this episode that has always stuck with me where they go to the car wash and they get, and it's one of the old car washes where like you get out of the car, the attendant puts it through the car wash, and then like when it's done, they bring it to you. And they think somebody stole their car. They're like, oh, no, our car, it's a brown station wagon. Where is it? And it comes out, it's actually white. And they're just, the car's
that
just.
That's hilarious.
So that's funny.
It's amazing.
That's amazing. Immediately where my brain
it's
went.
A little like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah, our daughter Maya, she's 17. And if it were up to her, we would have 20 dogs. They would all blind, deaf, 3-legged. Like, she's always telling us, it's not about you, mom and dad. It's not about us. Like, you know, they need us.
Right.
They just, they're just amazing.
That's so
girls.
Cool.
And the dogs bring us great joy.
That's amazing. Well, shout out to Riley for hitting
us
with that question.
Yeah, thank you, Riley.
So, before we wrap up, Do you have any like advice, insight, just like tips for somebody out there listening who's trying to make change, trying to drive impact, maybe within their organization or not, right? Just like, how does one even approach doing more good through the eyes of Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, my number one piece of advice all the time is regulate your own nervous system. Like, figure out how to settle into your own skin, calm your own brain, and make sure that your drive to create change is coming from that deep-centered, calm space, because then your efforts will, you know, the universe will conspire in your favor and your efforts will multiply and you'll find all the people who are working in the same direction and you'll get that connection that you were talking about. Yeah. And if we're just in that mindset of like, I'm just going to pour into this and if I'm not suffering, I don't care. It's a dead end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And it actually, you know, you end up putting your energy toward just managing your own anxiety and ego, little e ego. Mm-hmm. So things don't turn out. You don't have the impact that matches your intention. Mm. If your intention and impact are going to match, then you've got to raise your consciousness. And the way you raise your consciousness is you get still and you get curious and you pay attention. And sometimes the people with the biggest hearts intending to do the most good can sort of push right past that. And I think we leave stuff on the table when we don't just take the time to regulate our own nervous system.
That's great advice.
God, we need like an extra mic just so you can drop it right now.
Right?
Right? Just awesome. Truth bombs from Michelle. So, no, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming by. Like, I know we both thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. How does anybody like check out your work, follow you online? Yeah. Like, where are you accessible? What's your website address?
Yeah, it's michellekinder.com. Mm-hmm. And I have a fair Twitter presence. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. A place where I put different quotes that are impacting me from what I'm reading. I would love to connect with people there as well.
Good. Yeah.
And you have an article coming out today, you said, right?
Yes, have an article coming out today in Latino Rebels about being a third culture kid and how we need to be doing a better job listening to the third culture kids in our country right now.
Amazing.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for swinging by. We appreciate
thank
the time.
Thank you.
So,
yeah. I'm excited to be here.
That was an amazing conversation.
It was.
One of my favorites, I think, for sure.
I think the slow down piece, like really, and listening and like being still is something that I will definitely walk away with.
For sure. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for the ROI of Why podcast. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos. Select styles only. Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos. Select styles only.